It is just after 8:10 here on a Big Show Friday morning. That's the lovely and talented Julie Warren.
Good morning.
I didn't play your intro music this morning because I am juggling. But the juggling is for you, the listener, and
that's
we appreciate
right.
you being
right.
on board with us this morning. And we also appreciate the United States Senator from the great state of Indiana, Dan Coats, joining us this morning. Senator Coats, happy holidays. How are you?
Well, thank you. No one's ever introduced me as lovely and talented, so congratulations to Julie.
Thanks.
Well, she fits the bill, but we do appreciate your time, as we always do. We know it's very busy as the Senate is trying to get things wrapped up here in 2014, and you've had a very busy couple of weeks, and that's not hugely surprising, but maybe this time of year we don't always see it that busy, but from everything with replacing the Secretary of Defense, talking about immigration, talking about deficits, government shutdown. My goodness, we have a full cornucopia of things to touch on this morning. Let's start with the Defense Secretary, Chuck Hagel. He is out. President Obama will need to replace him. Give us your thoughts on how that relationship either fell apart, didn't come together, and what's next for the Pentagon.
Well, early on, Chuck Hagel was sort of deep sixed by the presidency. And his team, the president and his team, and you didn't hear much from them at all. It was sort of a strange appointment in the first place. A lot of us questioned whether that was the right person. Chuck did not speak out. Then near the end of this, primarily because of the issue of ISIS, there's a lot of dissatisfaction in the Department of Defense among the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the troops, in terms of the strategy not being effective to achieve the goal. And Hagel did start to speak out, and apparently that wasn't what the White House wanted. They were running policy out of the White House on defense policy, not out of the Pentagon. And they thought it was time, I guess, for Chuck Hagel to step down. So it was almost a forced resignation. Ash Carter, the person they selected to fulfill that position, actually, in my opinion, a good choice. I had a long relationship with Ash back when he was Deputy Secretary of Defense and I was on the Armed Services Committee. But also, after I had left the Senate, I was part of a task force. In fact, I led an effort to deal with the Iranian nuclear situation. And Ash was with me on that, and we produced a report, which now, unfortunately, has come true. We outlined the specifics of what would happen if we dilly-dallied and didn't deal with this situation, and Iran kind of rope-a-doped us into buying time to continue to develop nuclear weapons. So it's very topical right now, and I'm looking forward to working with him to continue on that effort.
And speaking of foreign relations, it's been kind of quiet on the ISIS front, the Ukraine front, the Syrian front. Where do we stand right now, and should we still be concerned on those issues moving forward?
Well, we should be concerned. I mean, this is a serious threat to instability in the entire Middle East. We know they are trying to recruit and have recruited Americans, Europeans, and others to come be trained and then go back into their countries. The threats are as high as they have ever been relative to these individuals that are coming back, and who knows what they're planning. And so I think we need to take this very seriously in terms of the national security of the United States and the stability of the world.
Our guest this morning is United States Senator from Indiana. It's Dan Coats. He joins us here on a Friday morning. And Julie, go ahead.
Yeah. So, Senator, of course, the immigration issue is a hot topic right now, and Indiana has joined the lawsuit to try to stop this action. Tell us what your thoughts are on this. I mean, should Indiana be part of this lawsuit? Is this a good idea? What's going to happen here?
Well, I think it's up to 17 states now that have filed suits. Basically, saying the same thing that we are saying in the Congress, and that is the president has exceeded his constitutional powers. He's supposed to enforce the law, not write the law. The president has been blatant about going around Congress and going around the American people's representatives, including the governors and the states that have to deal with the consequences of illegal immigration and the overwhelming, in particular in southern states, the overwhelming number of people pouring across the border, the education, the medical care, the housing, the welfare, the release that these states have to provide. And so I think it's very legitimate to challenge the president's decision to go out on his own and essentially remake the law. Should Congress be dealing with this? Yes, they should, and we will be and have been. But the president doesn't like what has been done so far, and therefore he's simply saying, I'm going to take over here. He's not a king. He was not elected to run a monarchy here. We have a democracy. The people elect their representatives. They don't like what they're doing. They have the opportunity to remove them at the ballot box. In this case, the president has challenged that whole emphasis. So bringing it before the Supreme Court, I think, or in before any court, is necessary to rein this president in, who clearly, I think, has exceeded his authority far over and above what any other president has done.
The people have spoken. The midterm elections have shown not exactly what they want, but have given you a pretty good idea. Do you foresee this transpiring in the last 2 years of it, once the Republicans take over the House and the Senate? Is this the battle that's going to continue between the executive branch and the legislative branch?
Well, unfortunately, it may be. I had so hoped that the president would see the results of the November election, that the public wanted to go in a different direction. They wanted cooperation. They wanted bipartisanship to work in some of the problems that are facing the country, particularly economic issues, getting people back to work, the issues that affect people where they live. These have fallen prey to dead on arrival in the United States Senate, no matter what the House has sent forward. And even if the Senate is able to move some things, the president has threatened to veto. And so we've been in stalemate here for 2 years. I don't think the people want two more years of this wrangling, you know, but unless the president steps up and agrees to cooperate with us and work with us on any number of issues, tax reform, opening up the Keystone Pipeline, changing the medical device tax, which affects companies like Cook dramatically in Indiana, one of our better industries that's now being taxed to death. There's a whole range of issues here that we could work on that would stimulate our economy, that would get people, open up more jobs. And that's really what people want us to do, and unfortunately, we've been at stalemate and haven't been able to do that. I was hoping that would change.
United States Senator Dan Coats is our guest this morning. Do we have enough money to operate the government here for the next couple of weeks?
Well, yeah, for the next couple of weeks, but we've...
Notice I didn't say months.
Right. We have to deal with that before we leave. The December 11th is the time when the current level of funding expires. It's not that the money isn't there, it's just that it has to be authorized and spent. But, you know, one more thing that we should have been doing these last few years is dealing with a government that spends beyond its means, that has not been responsible with taxpayers' money. There's a lot of waste, there's a lot of bureaucracy here that eats up tax dollars that don't go to the essential functions of government. Indiana has proven that you can run a much more efficient, effective government and much more taxpayer-friendly government. We haven't done that in Washington, and I very much regret. In fact, it's one of the primary reasons I ran again, was to come back and try to deal with our fiscal situation, because we're really putting future generations at jeopardy, and we're holding down the rate of growth that basically is keeping people out of jobs. And I think there's a lot we could do, but unfortunately we haven't been able to do that with this administration.
Senator, if people here in Bloomington or Monroe County, if they have questions or ideas that they want to share with you, what's the best way for them to reach you and get that information to you?
Well, any number of ways. We have a central office in Indianapolis, but we also have regional directors that get out all around the state, whether it is by mail, whether it is by email, whether it is by tweets, whether it is our phone lines are open. We try to respond to everybody that contacts us. Our office is open for people to deal with issues they have with the federal government, or simply just to give us their opinions. And I try to get around the state and listen to a lot of people, meet with a lot of the leaders of various communities, and also just people on the street and normal Hoosiers that are just every day just trying to make a living and take care of their family. So we have multiple ways people can contact us. Dan Coats, USSenate.gov, you know, you can get into that. We hear from hundreds of Hoosiers every day, and we want to continue to do that.
At Send Dan Coates on Twitter, that's a good one too, and on Facebook you can find him. So every way the senator is accessible, and on this program, and we really appreciate your time for being with us. We know, obviously, with talking to you this morning, December 11th, you've got some work to do yet. We're going to let you get back to work, and we look forward to talking to you in the new year.
Very nice to talk to you. Thanks.